Hey guys, it's Jen. Welcome to The Real Life Pastor's Wife, and I just wanted to let you know that I created this podcast because I know that ministry sometimes feels lonely. Sometimes it feels good just to know that there's someone else out there with a similar experience. And my hope is that I can bring that to you through conversations with some of my friends. I hope that you leave these conversations feeling encouraged and a little less alone, and I'm so thankful that you're taking the time to listen. Hey friends, I'm finally back with a new episode, and today you get to listen in on my conversation with Stacy Coleman. Stacy and her husband have been pastoring in Louisiana for 18 plus years, and our conversation talks a lot about the different stages of church life, the different roles that she's played within her church, and a little bit about family life as a pastor and pastor's wife as well. I hope you enjoy the conversation as much as I did, as usual. And without further ado, here's my conversation with Stacy. I'm so excited to finally get to talk to you.
I know. We've been planning this for a couple of months now, huh?
I know. I just looked back in my feed of messages, and I think it started in July. So that tells you how the last few months have been.
Yes. Well, this whole year has been crazy, so I understand.
Right. It's just one more crazy month. Nothing new. Yeah. Well, I'm so excited you're here. If you don't mind, I think I'll just jump right in, and I just would love to hear a little bit more about who you are. It's kind of fun because this is another one of those interviews where I get to learn right along with everybody else. So,
Okay. Well, my name is Stacy Coleman, and I've been married to my husband, Jay, for about 28 years. We have three grown sons, and they're all in their 20s. My oldest one is married. The other two are engaged, and we're planning two weddings for 2021. So that's a whole lot of fun right now.
Oh my gosh.
Yes. And then I have two grandbabies. I have a little girl, Olivia. We call her Livy, and a grandson that was born during quarantine. His name is Hudson. And so he's only a few months old. So that's pretty much, you know, my family life. My husband and I, we've been pastoring, lead pastoring for about 18 years. And so we've, you know, just enjoyed, you know, family life and building the church and, just all those kind of things. Do you want to know a little bit about, like, behind the scenes ministry of how we got to where we are?
Sure. Yeah, okay. I would love that. And okay. Where are you located? You're Louisiana, is that right?
Right. We are right outside of Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
Okay.
And, and the name of our church is Journey Church. Mm-hmm. So our story is probably a little bit different than some. You know, we know a lot of pastors who, you know, are church planners and so forth, and I have a lot of respect for church planners. Ours, we started out in volunteer youth ministry when we first got married.
Okay.
Which was a great experience. And then we were offered a full-time ministry position at a town like an hour away from where we grew up. And so we were there for about 8 years.
Okay.
And had all of our kids there and just trained in all kinds of different, you know, youth ministry, children's ministry. My husband did outreach and TV ministry. I mean, just a great time to, you know, prepare to pastor.
Right.
And so after we had been there for about 8 years, you know, my kids were still young, we had the opportunity to move to Baton Rouge and take over a small little church that was just full of, we say more mature believers, but it was an older congregation.
Right.
And they were looking for a younger pastor at the time because they did not want their church to, you know, fade away. So we just knew in our spirits it was, you know, the right time to step out to pastor. It had just been stirring in our spirits for some time. And so we stepped out and began to, just build the congregation, build the, you know, in the area. And so after about 4 or 5 years, we ended up moving locations and building a brand new building. And we actually renamed the church. So we kind of relaunched and planted a new church, which that's where the respect for the church planters comes into play.
Yeah.
We had for about 14 months met in a school and kind of had church out of a box, you know.
Yes, we know all about that.
You know all about that. Yes. Yeah. And so we did that for quite some time while we were actually building the new church facility. And so once we launched in that area, it just kind of took off, you know, and, you know, rebranding and renaming the church and just, you know, kind of being in a, and it wasn't very far away, maybe about 5 miles from where we were, but it was in a new community.
Okay.
And so it, it's just been, an exciting kind of roller coaster ride of an experience for the past, I'd say 12 years, you know,
wow,
that we've been, pastoring there. So
I love that you say that, because this morning I was looking a little bit on the Instagram and trying to learn a little bit about your church, and it looks so vibrant and big and, not that numbers are, mean anything, but just healthy. And so that's really cool that it started out small and a little bit more traditional.
Yes. Well, I definitely have an appreciation for, you know, pastors who are in the trenches, you know, building smaller, you know, the smaller congregation and just, you know, all the energy that goes into that, you know, to get to a place where, you know, as it grows, then there's different challenges that come with that as well. But, you know, my husband and I have always said, you know, just enjoy, we have to enjoy where we're at, because, right, you know, there's things that we could do when our church was smaller that, that we loved, you know, the potluck dinners and just the, there's just so many different things that you can do when you're smaller that once your church grows, you have to, think, you know, in a different way to accommodate, you know, more people. And, it's right, just different, and come up with ways to where you can make a bigger church, feel that family community feeling, you know, like in smaller groups and different things like that, you know, so that everyone feels a part and engaged, you know. So that's, you know, that's always, there's always challenges either way that you go, you know, but there is definitely, just definitely respect in my heart for all pastors who are planting and just, you know, digging their heels in deep to, you know, to do what God's called them to do, for sure.
Right. Yeah, I love that. That's really true. We have one of those small church plants right now. And, you know, we had a barbecue at our house last time for the first time since quarantine. And, you know, it's small enough that pretty much everybody could come, and we still weren't breaking any of the rules.
Right.
And, you know, so there are benefits for sure.
Yes. And those are precious moments too, because I look back on some of the times with, and we still have people in our congregation, that were with us from the beginning. You know, of course it was an older, congregation. So we've lost quite a few, you know, have gone on to be with the Lord, but, right, but, you know, we look back and we're like, you know, remember the good old days, you know, how things were and stuff. So always making memories and, appreciating, you know, especially those who, stick with you, you know, through, thick and thin, you know, it's,
right,
you build special bonds and relationships. That's for sure.
That's so true.
Yes. Yes.
So what does ministry look like for you? I know your husband's the lead pastor, but what kinds of things do you do within the church?
Okay. Well, I have always been the worship pastor.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Okay.
So we kind of have a little different, I guess, relationship. And I'm more visible in the church. I've spent a lot of my time building the worship team, and which has been a wonderful experience in itself.
Yeah.
And then in the last, I would say the last 3 or 4 years, I've been training my oldest son, who's also a musician, and just really has the gifting to lead worship. And so even when he was younger, he was helping me and with the worship team. And so now that he's older and he went away to college and came back to be on staff at the church, he helps with a lot of the worship aspect and building the team even more so. So I've kind of delegated a lot of things to him, and him and his wife also are our student pastors as well.
Oh, how fun.
Yeah, so in the last few years, I've been able to release a lot of that. I still sing, not every Sunday morning, but I'm still a part of the team, and and it's, of course, as far as pastoring the team and all of that. But my main focus has shifted some towards the women's ministry. And
Okay.
I love to talk about the women's ministry. I'm very passionate about that. Our women's ministry is called Journey Girls, and we started the women's ministry probably about a year after we launched Journey. And we've just done all kinds of different things. We always have like a spring and fall Bible study. We have just had different events, some of them themed, one was a barbecue, one was, a luau, just different things
Oh,
like that.
fun.
And just fun times to gather all the women together. And sometimes I'll speak, or I've brought in other people. And so in the last couple of years, I really had it on my heart to do a women's conference. And so
Okay.
last year, we had our first women's conference called Embrace, and it was just fabulous. We had Mercy Lokolutu come in and speak, and just it was in my heart, like, not only for the Journey Girls, but I wanted it to invite, women in the community. I contacted other pastors' wives that I knew within the state, and so we had people come in from all over the place, and we ended up with close to 400 women, and
Oh my
I know
gosh.
I was blown away, just blown away by just everything. And it was just, very much needed. The women were just, couldn't talk enough about it and so forth. And so here we are planning like for 2020, and I
Oh
know all of this happens, and I'm like, oh my goodness, what do we do? So, and I was waiting to hear, are we going to go into the next phase? How is that going to be? And so in Louisiana, we are now in phase three, which is good. More like 75%, in our church that we can have.
Oh,
Yeah.
wow.
So
That's amazing.
we've been able to kind of move a little bit, forward here recently. So I decided that we would just have an Embrace Women's Night, just a one night thing. And so that's actually coming up next week. And I'm very excited about that. I have a dear friend that's going to come and speak, and we're just gonna, have a great time. And I just know that the women are very excited. Everybody's ready to get back together,
Right.
and so then I decide, okay, well, we're gonna have a Bible study, and we can just all spread out as far as we can in the sanctuary. And I'm thinking, I don't know how many ladies are gonna come. It doesn't really matter. I just want there to be the opportunity to get together.
Right.
So because I just think it's so very needed. People are missing that connection. They're missing that fellowship,
Yeah.
that's so needed.
And so
this has been a hard year for that, for sure.
It really has. It really has. And so I've been, you know, just trying to stay connected with as many people, you know, in our congregation, whether that's by phone calls or texts or, you know, actually I've written a lot of little note cards, you know, to different people just so that they'll know that they're not alone, you know, during this time.
Yeah, I think that's so important. And it's something that's so easy and simple that we just maybe don't always think about. Right. So that's a great idea. Right.
Yeah. And so the other thing that I'm really passionate about with, and this involves the women's ministry, is I do a lot of writing. And so I have started a couple of years ago on our social media pages for Journey Girls, like a weekly post. I call it a post of encouragement. And so it's called Embrace the Journey. And so, you know, I just write a little something based on a scripture and, just something, you know, to help them get through the week. We post them on Wednesdays and just other things, you know, like that with our social media to keep the women engaged and so forth. And so, that's something else that I'm spending a lot of my time doing, more writing and more, just planning and doing things, you know, with the women for sure.
I love that. Yes. So one of the questions that I always ask, because I feel like we all have something here, is what do you wish you would have known before life in ministry? I know it's going to make you think back a ways, but
yeah, what would I, Well, I guess I would have liked someone to have kind of given me a heads up that, you know, it's not always as easy as maybe some people make it out to be, that there's a lot of things behind the scenes, you know, that, that can happen to where, you know, you just have to learn spiritual warfare and be on guard, mm-hmm. you know, that the enemy is going to come at you all kinds of different ways. You know, people don't necessarily see those things, you know, the battles that are fought.
Right.
And I guess maybe I would have, I would have appreciated a little bit more heads up on some of that, that really came into play more when we stepped into the lead pastor role, you know,
right.
My husband always says, well, you know, he always thought, well, you know, well, our pastor, yeah, that was, you know, that was easier, or it looked easy or whatever. But when you're in that position and you're having to make those decisions, it's uh-huh. not always the easiest. One of the good things that I did learn before we went into, you know, lead pastoring, our pastors before would always say to each other that they're never going to quit on the same day. And that has always stuck with me. You know, they said, you know, you can both be discouraged, or one can be discouraged, or the other one's got to, you know, build that one up, you know, because yeah. you just cannot quit on the same day, because if you both want to quit on the same day, then you're done, you know?
Yeah.
And
I love that, because it's so true. I think we all have days, our husbands, ourselves. Yes. Like,
yes, you know, and it's hard too, because, you know, the people in our congregation, they don't see that, you know, there's criticism that comes our way that we have to, you know, struggle with, or there's just, you know, different things, just dealing with people in general that can become kind of difficult. And, I'll tell you this one thing that my husband and I decided a long time ago, once we started into the role of lead pastoring, I'll tell you this funny little story. We had a lady in our church. We did not know that she was very upset with us about some things. And so she decided that she would write down her feelings towards different things that mm-hmm. were going on, almost kind of like a journal. And so okay. she ended up giving my husband like an 18-page letter of all of these things that were, you know, bothering her. And so some of it, you know, we're like, okay, well, that there could be some truth to this. And other things were like, we just don't know how to, you know, fix that. And so we, you know, prayed about it, and we were like, okay, Lord, show us if there's any truth in this. And it was really very discouraging. And so we decided after that, we said, you know what, we need to counteract this very critical, you know, negative letter. So we began to collect all of the thank you cards and the just different things that people would send us, you know, in appreciation, or the positive things that were going on. And we started a folder in the bottom drawer of the desk. We called it our encouragement folder. And just all of a sudden, it just began to overflow, and it just kind of took over the whole drawer. And so whenever we're having a bad day, so that we don't quit on the same day, and if we're feeling discouraged, we can go to that folder and pull out some different ones and, you know, read about the good things, you know, that have happened, or the, you know, the positive things, or the appreciation of just, you know, God's goodness. And so that's a little bit of a pick me up, you know? So I encourage all pastors to do that. If you don't have an encouragement folder, you need to start one, because that would be helpful.
I love that. And I think it's funny that you say it, because I work as a teacher as well. And I've been teaching for, I think, 12 or 13 years. And probably my first year in, I made a happy folder, and it's bright yellow and it's full of all the same stuff, but within my work, you know, like. So on those bad days, I can pull out those pictures from my first year, or that note from my old boss. Right. And I'm like, okay, we're doing okay. Right.
Well, it helps you to stay focused and get back on track, you know, because, yeah, no matter what kind of occupation you have, you know, there's definitely the opportunities that you have to quit, and you need that, you know, push to continue on. And I just definitely think it's even more so needed when you're stepping out in ministry, for sure, you know, but it can be discouraging. But God is always faithful, and he's gonna, you know, he takes care of us. And he, you know, like I said, we pray over the different things that we get and say, okay, Lord, is there any truth in this? Is there some way that we need to adjust or change, or, you know, what would you like us to do? That kind of thing, for sure.
Right. So, well, that's important. I think that's what makes a good leader, right? Is being able to be honest with yourself and reflect and make yourself be better.
Yes, you know? Absolutely. So,
okay. So I have a couple more questions. The next one is, and you kind of answered this, but is there any other encouragement you would give to someone who's a few years behind you or new to ministry?
I would probably encourage them to make family a top priority. You know, I think a lot of times, you know, well, and this isn't any occupation, I'm sure, but especially in ministry, you know, my kids were little whenever we stepped out to where we were lead pastoring and trying to, you know, plant a new church and just, it takes a lot of your time. It consumes a lot of your time. And, and so I really became mindful not to, maybe keep my boys at the church too long, you know, like we wouldn't stay, you know, that we kept our routine and our schedule to where I didn't want them to grow up and hate being at the church all the time. You know, that was That was my main concern, you know, and I'm so thankful today for sure that my kids, they all still love the Lord, that we all still love each other, you know, that's a big accomplishment.
That's important,
sure, you know, and I just, you know, didn't want the enemy to rob us of any special family time. Now I know that there are things that happen, and you're called out in the middle of the night because someone's in the hospital or there's been a death or, you know, just all those kind of things that pastoring, you know, calls for. But and I'm not saying that I did this perfectly. I did not. You know, I can look back and say, oh, I really wished I would have made a different choice, you know, with our time in different situations, you know, and I do believe that it helps to, like, you know, be honest with your kids and say, look, you know, we haven't all been together, you know, like we should. And I know that this has taken time away, or I have explained to my kids that, okay, we're building this church and yeah, Dad's not home a whole lot right now. It's because he was self-contracting it. And so he was very, you know, very busy in the whole actual building process. And so you know, I had to be honest with the kids, like, this is for a season, you know, and then when this, and so actually once we launched the church, we launched the church, things took off, it was going great and everything. Our board of directors said, look, we want to send y'all on a trip. And so we took our kids to Disney World for the first time after all of that.
Oh, how fun.
And so, so that was kind of like the reward, you know, for that season of life, you know, and we'll always remember that, you know, and the excitement of preparing to launch and all of that, and just, you know, God's faithfulness in that. So, yeah, I would just encourage, you know, others to, you know, just check yourself in that area, you know, that because where we're at right now, we're about to be total empty nesters. And, you know, that season of having your kids and, you know, that kind of time together, you think it's going by really slow when you're in it, but in actuality, it goes by really fast. And you look back and you're like, oh, you know, to have some of that time back from when they were younger, you know, it's very much treasured. And so definitely pray and ask the Lord, you know, how your schedule can be adjusted to where, you know, we don't let the enemy rob that time, you know, that we protect that time with our family for sure.
I love that. I said encouragement for others, but I found it really encouraging because I have two little boys, and, you know, that's kind of the constant battle of figuring out how to spend our time and how much is too much and all of this.
Well, I'll tell you that I found it to be overwhelming one time for one of my boys. We had been at the church, you know, just staying up there a lot, doing a lot of things. And he almost had a meltdown on me. And he said, Mama, I don't want to be here anymore. I want to go home. And that's when I realized this has got to change. You know, I cannot push that much stress on my child. You know, he just wanted to be home. He wanted to run outside and play with his friends, you know? So, So as driven and as focused as we can become on building God's kingdom, you know, our most important ministry still, I believe, remains with our family, you know, taking care of our kids and so forth. So that when they're older, that they will definitely still, you know, love the Lord. And I mean, my boys serve in the church and, you know, and it's on their, you know, by their own choice now. It's not because I'm telling them to, you know, and so.
Right.
That to me is the ultimate goal. I want them to still love Jesus, you know, and have their own relationship with the Lord in it, and it all be good in them, and them not be bitter in any way towards, you know, pastoring for sure.
So, I love that. So, okay, I'm going to wrap it up with a question that takes kind of a hard left. I want to know, what are two things that you are loving right now?
Two things that I am loving right now. I am loving.
Could be silly, could be serious, doesn't matter.
I'm loving the season that I'm in. I love being it's hard for me to say grandmother because I feel like I'm too young to really be a grandmother. they call me Nana.
Right.
So I love being a Nana for sure. There's really nothing else like it. And I'm loving that. I love spending time with my babies. And just, you know, family night we have once a week. You know, we try to get everybody together, you know, the fiancés and the others and the babies, and just, you know, spend quality time together. That part I'm absolutely loving about this season, just seeing how my kids are interacting, you know, now that they become adults. It's, you know, in that adult relationship that we now have, that they're, since they're older, that is, it's really a good season. I wasn't quite sure I was going to like this season because it's hard to let go of them, you know, as right. they're younger and, you know, that kind of thing, but it really is something to enjoy. I'm also loving, the season I'm in as far as having more time for my writing and things like that. I have a certain day of the week that I stay home and I'm not in the office, but I'm usually at home working on something like that, writing and just being creative. And so that is an enjoyment for me for sure. I'm loving that. On the silly side, I could probably tell you that because I'm such a Southern girl, I love uh-huh. my sweet tea. Absolutely.
Oh,
love
okay.
my sweet tea. My husband probably says I'm addicted to sweet tea, but it goes with everything else that I do. You know, it just is, I don't drink coffee or Coca-Cola. So sweet tea is what I need for sure. That is my vice.
That's your vice.
It keeps me going during the day for sure.
I love it. I'm a West Coast girl, so I can't quite wrap my brain around that, but I can
yes,
appreciate
well,
it.
and let me tell you, some people around here can definitely make it extremely sweet for sure. Probably only put you into sugar coma for sure. But it's great.
Yeah.
It's great.
Well, I love that. And I'm just so thankful that you took a few minutes to talk with me this morning. And I'm sure that there's going to be a lot of people that find this conversation really encouraging. So,
well, I appreciate you having me. It's been a joy.
All right. Well, you have a great rest of your Saturday. And
okay, you're
thank
welcome.
You again.
Take care.
Okay. You too. Hey, I am so excited you're here, and I cannot wait to share this interview with you. Today, my guest is Karen Stiller. She is the author of the new book that came out this year called The Minister's Wife. And I say it in the interview, but really, guys, it is such a good book. If you are in ministry, if your husband is in ministry, if ministry life is appealing to you, or even if you just want a little sneak peek into what life in ministry is like, this is such a great book. And if you stay tuned after the show and go to my Instagram page, you're even going to get an opportunity to win a copy of this book. So I'm so excited to share this interview with you. And without further ado, here is Karen.